Okay, we have Parshas Devarim that is usually followed by the Haftorah of Parshas Chazon. I'm not sure, I don't know whether it's every single year or most years, but it certainly is a parasha which is brought before Tisha B'Av. And obviously, the Torah being timeless, there must be lessons in Parshas Devarim that is supposed to help us understand where we are in the 9 days, and how to ensure that we learn from the parasha the lessons that will get us out of the problems that we're in right now. There's no doubt that what we have today in Eretz Yisrael, the stage that we are in history, that we have, Baruch Hashem, a place where hundreds of thousands of Yidden are living in sporadic security, where there's yeshivas, where there's kolim, where there's mikvois, where there's shuls, where there's eruvin, excuse me, where there's towns of Tamil Chachamim, is no doubt that this is a tremendous, tremendous kus. And to push this away and to say, you know, it's all Zionism and it's all, we can't be grateful for that, is kvias toiv. There's no doubt it's complete kvias toiv. We have to be very, very grateful to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's been nisim v'nifalos brought us to this stage. We're very, very far to what we should be. We're very, very far to how Eretz Yisrael should look, the way the government of Eretz Yisrael should look, the way the laws of Eretz Yisrael should look, the way we're even living on a personal life, the milus of ruchnius, the milus of strengths, of being together as a nation under one banner of Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no doubt it'll look very, very different. But right now, we are living in Eretz Yisrael. Right now, Baruch Hashem, there is a certain element of Siyat Yishmaya, tremendous amount of Siyat Yishmaya has reached us to this point. And Reb Elia writes in his Sforim that Churban is always followed by people not appreciating what they have. If a person doesn't appreciate what they have, Ribbono Shel Olam shakes them up a bit and takes away what they have. And therefore he says that not appreciating Eretz Yisrael, thinking that Eretz Yisrael isn't that choshuv, thinking that we are the ones who control Eretz Yisrael, he says inevitably is going to cause to parts of Eretz Yisrael being taken away. And that was before any of the so-called peace process or anything else. And that is exactly what's happening. What's happening is, Rachmana Litzlan, Eretz Yisrael is being delegitimized by the different countries, parts of it being taken here, parts being snatched there, and Lemaisa, the Churban is based on our not appreciating what we have. And therefore I'd like to go through various different elements of appreciating. We know we're near there, we haven't got the base of Mikdosh, but appreciating at least what Eretz Yisrael is all about and how to ensure that we do keep at least what we have, and obviously Be'ez Hashem build up on that, and eventually we come to base Mikdash and Eretz Yisrael HaShleima. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Devarim, it talks about the boundaries, Achad Osa Yoyim Mechoyer Derech Harsei, etc, etc. After Achrei Kaisich HaMelech HaMoyri Be'eva HaYardein Be'eretz Moav Ho Moishus Be'eretz Ora HaZois Pasuk Zayin. It says, I said to you, Pnu Usulachem, travel a boya hamori of Koshkina Baroba Bahor Bashadi Banega Bahifayom, Eretz Haknani Valavonoin, to land of Knani Alvonet, Ad Hanahar Hagadol Nahar Pros, until the great river, the Euphrates. So the kasher is, why is it called Nahar Hagadol? Why is it Nahar Hagadol? In fact, if you look in Parshas Bereishis, that was actually the smallest of the four rivers. The Euphrates was the smallest of the four rivers. Says Rashi, why is it called Nahar HaGadol, the great river? Mipnei Shenizka im Eretz Yisrael Koro Gadol. It's not part of Eretz Yisrael, it's nowhere near Eretz Yisrael. But it's mentioned together with Eretz Yisrael, therefore that mentioning together Yisrael gives it its greatness, it's called Nahar HaGadol. A river becomes great, a domain becomes great by being associated with Eretz Yisrael. Even though it's by no means a great river, and even though by no means it's the actual part of Eretz Yisrael, but the mere association with Eretz Yisrael gives it its greatness. Nahar HaGadol Nahar Pros. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks in Sichas Musa, in Tovshin Lamed Gimel, he says we find Eretz Yisrael has tremendous skulus. If Eretz Yisrael can give an association to river to make the river great, imagine what it can do to a human being. And he says there's many things we find in Eretz Yisrael. Ein Torah Eretz Yisrael. The Torah Eretz Yisrael is special. Avira Eretz Yisrael Machkim, that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes us wise. The Ein Nevuah Niglis Ele Eretz Yisrael. There's only at a certain stage of Nevuah. Nevuah is only given in Eretz Yisrael. There were exceptions, Moshe Rabbeinu, but there were exceptions. Yonah Hanavi ran away to Tarshish because he did not want to be in Eretz Yisrael to receive Nevuah, which means even a Navi who is royal to Nevuah only gets in Eretz Yisrael, which means Eretz Yisrael has tremendous skulus. Paltrin Shel Melech. In other words, Eretz Yisrael has tremendous stuff. The question asked from Chaim is, if that's the case, why is it? V'hine yesh ispole eleinu, she'onu dorim Eretz Yisrael, we're living in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ein onu margishin kroyu esahaliyo v'hashpo ha'boyz on al-yodo. Not referring to aliyah. Yeah, kroyu esahaliyo, the greatness of coming up living in Israel. Why don't we feel this greatness? Why are we inspired to be completely different to those people who are in Chutz Oret? What's the difference? What's going on? So he brings a very, very powerful Medrash Rabbah. This is Medrash Rabbah in Devarim Perik Beis Ches on this week's parasha. Omar Moshe Rabbeinu Lefonov, Rebbeinu Shleilam. The bones of Yosef, the bones of Yosef managed to come to Eretz Yisrael, and I can't come into Eretz Yisrael. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Misha hoida ba'artzoi, nikva ba'artzoi. Those people who are hoida, those people who admitted, as it were, to the land, will be buried in the land. Those people who don't admit, do not connect to the land, will not get buried in the land. Yosef hoida ba'artzoi minayin. How did Yosef was hoida to the land? Gvirasoi emeris, the woman who was in charge, his governess, said about him, Re'u hovilona ish ivri. And this ivri, this is Eva hayardin man. This, I'll use the term Israeli man. Yeah, but for lack of a better term, this Jewish man, this Israeli man, Eretz Ivrim. So you see that he was associated with Ivri, with being Jewish, with being associated with being an Ivri, with Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he deserves to come to Eretz Yisrael. V'loikofa ela omar gonav gonavdim Eretz Ivrim. He said, I was stolen from the Eretz Ivrim. Eretz Ivrim, in other words, he associated himself with Eretz Yisrael. Atosh lehidisa ba'artzecho, you Moshe Rabbeinu, was not hoided to your land. Ela atanik ein atanikva ba'artzecho, you'll not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ketzad? But ish mitzri hitzlanim yad ha'royim. This Egyptian man saved us from the hands of the royim. V'hu shemeah v'sheisuk. And he kept quiet and he didn't say anything. Asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz of Bombakasha. You know, is it Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is a genius in asking simple questions, which are so simple that you think you should ask yourself, but the message is so powerful because of the simplicity. He said, what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing dressed up as a mitzri? Why? Why didn't he come there dressed as a Jew? Must be because it was dangerous for him to travel around Midian looking as a Jew and stick out like a sore thumb. It's dangerous for him. Now, the fact that they thought he was a Mitzri was because he had to dress up as a Mitzri. To such an extent that the fact is he denied being Jewish. Not denied being Jewish. If I ask him if he's Jewish, he's a chiv to say, yes, you are. But they associated him with being a Mitzri. He did not say, no, I'm a Jew. He did not get any punishment due to the fact that he denied being Jewish. The fact that denied is a bit strong. The fact that he hid the fact that he was Jewish, yeah, he got no Einish for that. He doesn't say he got any Einish. What did he get an Einish for? He was quiet. What did he get an Einish for? He got an Einish for not being associated with Eretz Yisrael. Saying that he's from Mitzrayim and not from Eretz Yisrael, that is what he got punished for, that he could not go into Eretz Yisrael and be buried there. Ask Chaim Shmulevitz, if it's wrong, he should have got punished for denying the fact he was Jewish, or pretending not to be Jewish, or dressing like it. He never got punished for that. So why get punished for not being part of Eretz Yisrael? Says Chaim Shmulevitz, it's nothing to do with being punished or not. Eretz Yisrael is nothing to do with punished or not. It's got to do with a very simple fact. If you associate yourself with Eretz Yisrael, if you connect yourself with the land, punishment or reward is irrelevant. Then b'metzias is a reality that you will be, Eretz Yisrael will absorb you, Eretz Yisrael will take you in. if you disconnect yourself, whether it was for very good reasons, but whatever it was, it doesn't matter. But if you disassociate yourself, if you disconnect yourself, Eretz Yisrael wants nothing to do with you. I read what he says, his Lashon, one line. He says, the Kedei Lekabeles HaShefa, in order to receive the Shefa, HaMushba Mimorim on Eretz Yisrael Val Yoshvel, that is poured from Shemaim on Eretz Yisrael and on those people who live there, on the inhabitants. Like he says, Tomeid Eine Hashem Lekecha Bok, which Baruch Hu looks over Eretz Yisrael the entire time. Yesh Tanai Lekach is one condition. Shitzorich Chliyos Shayich La'oretz, Moida Ba'oretz. You've got to be moida to the land. What does that mean? Dahainu lahaki b'maloso b'chashivoso. You've got to appreciate what Eretz Yisrael is. V'rak alidei ha'gosh hazu, only through this appreciation, nichnas ha'odom tachas hashpom yuchedes ha'oretz. Does a person become under the aura? Does a person come under the hashpom, under the benefits of living in Eretz Yisrael? Living in Eretz Yisrael, but not appreciating what Eretz Yisrael is. Living here, you know, living in the Mediterranean basin, living in this geographically in this part of the world, but saying, "Oh, these Israelis, these are, you know," and not, and becoming, living as a chutznik in Eretz Yisrael. You just happen to be living in the land of Israel. Again, I'm not talking about on the nationalistic side. I'm talking about the Eretz Yisrael, the kedusha side, being part of Eretz Yisrael. I am now a chelik of Eretz Yisrael, not Israel. A chelik of Eretz Yisrael. I'm a part of Eretz HaKedusha. My lot is here. I'm not coming here on a pilot trip, discussing, looking to see whether I can make my life here or not. I don't know. Maybe I can. Maybe I can't. I'll give it a try. No, we are part now of Eretz Yisrael. We're living here. We have a chelik. We have a Baruch Hashem. Eretz has given us schus to be able to live here. Things have gone much, much easier, and now we're here. To be associated with yourself, with the part of Eretz Yisrael, with the Kedusha, with the Tahara, with the Shefa, with the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. The beauty meaning, we'll see what beauty means in a second. But that is appreciating, being part and parcel of what Eretz Yisrael stands for. That and only then can we be Zeicha to have the Hashpah that Kosh Baruch Hu gives in Eretz Yisrael. Zeru Chaim Shmalevitz. Cheta Egel, they got Kapara for. Cheta Egel is a Vaita Zara. They got Kapara for, they got Tshuva for. But Cheta Meraglim, they never ever got kapara for. Why? Because it's nothing to do with oinish or schar. If a person doesn't want Eretz Yisrael, he's not going to get it. Israel doesn't want him. You say don't want Eretz Yisrael, fine. Eretz Yisrael can never ever want you again. It's too late. That's it. So chet miraglim is too late. This is the first stage of appreciating Eretz Yisrael, is knowing what gewaldigo, what fantastic matoni we have. What a gift Eretz Yisrael is. Getting into the understanding that we're here now and we are part of Eretz Yisrael. Lemaisa, Eretz Yisrael is very, very different. And living in Eretz Yisrael has its many, many challenges. How do we get round living here and appreciating what Eretz Yisrael is with all the nisyonos? Rav Shimon Schwab says in Parshas B'Shalach, he says, if you look in the Eicha, Eicha begins Aleph Beis, and the first few prokim is Aleph Beis. Okay, in the very first peruk, the Aleph is all in Aleph Beis order. Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, etc., all the way to the end. Okay, and so to the other prokim as well. However, there's a difference. From the second peruk on, it's an Aleph Beis order. Besides the Pei and the Ayin. If you look in the second parak on, it's Samach, it's Sofku Alayich Kopayim, etc. And then it says, Potsu Alayich Pihem, and then Osso Hashem Asher Zomom. In other words, it's Pei, and then the Ayin. Right. Gimel is Gimel, that's Gimel. Base as well is also, sorry, is that base or Gimel? That was base. Gimel as well, it says, Palge Mayim, Teirad Eini, and next pasuk Ad Yashki for Yera Hashem. Pei, in other words, there's a Pei, and then the Ayin. What's Peshat? So he brings from the Gemara. The Medrash says, Omer B'Yechanon. This is to remind us of the Chetim Raglim. The Chetim Raglim was that they put the Pei before the Ayin. They put the mouth before they looked. And therefore, the Oynish of the Koyesivkun Balayla, what's the Pasuk say? That they cry for generations, there'll be a Bechila Doiris, that started from the time of the Meraglim, and that carried on for generations, because the Chet was, they spoke before they looked. asks Rav Shimon Schwab, what are you talking about? The Posuk, actually, what they gave over was a very accurate description of Eretz Yisrael. They went there, there's a vice everywhere. They're Eretz Hanokim, they're giants. What did they say that's a lie? To say you put your eye, your mouth before you looked, it's not true. They looked very carefully, they saw Eretz Yisrael, they saw its challenges, they saw the Eretz Echeles Yeshvehor, there's a vice everywhere you go. They saw, and then they spoke. Why is it they spoke before, then they saw? Said the Shimon Schwab, and let's base it on a moshel. You know, they say you can always judge a person by what interests them most in a newspaper. Yeah, some people get the newspaper, the first thing you look at is a business page. Other people, the first thing they look at is a sports page. Other people look at the crime. Other people look at the weather. Well, it depends, you know, you can really see a person's, what interests them. You take a person to a museum. And, you know, some people just brush past exhibits. Some people who know a lot about, you know, the Roman Empire, they'll be absolutely gobsmacked. They'll be amazed by this exhibit of this Titus III's signet ring. Wow. Other person, no big deal. You know, I want to, you know, where is a part where they had a gift shop, where they have the cold Coke? Each person is going to be interested in other things. It depends on who you are. He says, when Klal Yisrael are sending Meraglim into Eretz Yisrael, they're not sending Meraglim into Switzerland. They're not sending Meraglim into the Rockies. They're sending Meraglim into Eretz HaKodesh. When you go into Eretz HaKodesh, you don't wear the same glasses you wear anywhere else around the world. You got to wear Ruchnius glasses. You got to be wearing the glasses, the correct glasses. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, what are they doing looking at Gashmius? Eretz Yisrael is not about Gashmius. Eretz Yisrael is about Ruchnius. When they go to Har HaMoriah, if they were Zeicha, if they were Ro'i, they should be seeking out the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. When they went past Chevron, can you imagine, Rabbi Yisrael? This is where the Ovis are. They should see the Kedusha of Chevron. When they went past all the Orem HaKadoshim, that's what they should have seen. They should have come back from Eretz Yisrael so inspired, so alive, so, you know, so on fire with the Kedusha, that they should come back and say, Rabbi Yisrael, everything else is rubbish, there's nothing. Ah, but the Kedusha is worth going in for that. The fact that they didn't see that Kedusha was because they didn't have the ayin. They didn't have the eye. They didn't know how to value Eretz Yisrael correctly. It was a pair before the ayin. They spoke more than they should have looked at. They should have looked at Eretz Yisrael differently. Eretz Yisrael, if one's coming here to Eretz Yisrael for the weather, if one's coming to Eretz Yisrael because of the business, or one's coming to Eretz Yisrael because of the tourism, yeah, then Eretz Yisrael has its limitations. If one comes to Eretz Yisrael because of the Ruchnius, and comes to Eretz Yisrael because this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be, this is where there's a mitzvah to live, and those people live outside Eretz Yisrael, if they have a good reason to, fine. And if they don't, Keilu Einu Elaka. Keilu Einu Elaka, because God B'chutz of Keilu Einu Elaka, they have to have a very good reason. You know, Baruch Hashem, people have good reasons to live in Chutz La'aretz. But living here and being here, if looking for the right reasons, then we won't make the same mistake as a Meraglim. Looking for politeness in Eretz Yisrael, that is not what it's going to be. You're looking for the wrong things. It's not going to happen. You look for the ruchnius. You look for the godless of Torah, of how much people, I read last week, the local paper. There's a group here from Bet Shemesh, of Chassidish Younger Light, average age less than 30, who know Shas Baal Peh. They got tested on Shas Baal Peh. Dafim, Shakle Vitaria, Dafim, Daf after Daf, Shakle Vitaria. This is godless. This is Sheifus. This is aspirations. That is a great, greatest of Eretz Yisrael. You've got to look, know where to look. If Eretz Yisrael, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to come here to become rich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have made Eretz Yisrael the only country in the whole Middle East that doesn't have decent supply of oil. That's not what we're here for. And therefore, you've got to make sure that you have the ayin, the correct ayin, to view Eretz Yisrael in the correct way. Klausenberger Rebbe, Zeche Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. He looked at Eretz Yisrael years back. He was in Switzerland with his Talmidim. And if you go on the train through Switzerland, it's unbelievable. You go from let's say you go from Zurich to St. Moritz. You go on the train. Have you ever been on the train? No. It is unbelievable. You can't look out the windows fast enough. You look at one side, there's a glacier. Look at the other side, there's a lake. As you turn a bend, you go through a mountain. There's another beautiful mountain. You know, you're not sure which side of the train to look at first. It's unbelievable. The Klausenberger Rebbe went through Switzerland. and he's going through the most incredible scenery, and it didn't interest him. He's looking in a safer, the whole time. He came to Eretz Yisrael a short while after that, and the trains still then, and the trains stopped, and the trains restarted, but the trains were, and Eretz Yisrael was a dusty, barren country. And as he was sitting on the train, he was jumping up like an excited child, looking from window to window. So Tamina said to him, Rebbe, in Switzerland you weren't interested, and here, Eretz Yisrael, what is it already? And he said, what are you talking about? This is a land. Eine Hashem Elokecha bo Mreshot Achrishono. Rabbein Shonen loves this land. This is the land that Kodesh Baruch Hu loves. He doesn't love Switzerland. He loves Eretz Yisrael. This is, I've got to love this land. Loving what Rabbein Shonen loves, that's Eretz Yisrael. But Lamaisa, as a veteran Ole, there's a lot of challenges. Again, this is not a shiur for Aliyah. This is a shiur to appreciate the correct elements of our Eretz Yisrael is. You know, sometimes you're not allowed to speak Eretz Yisrael because of Zionism. You must speak about Mashiach because it's Mashiach Shekhi. You must speak about Ivrit because all these things, Lashon HaKodesh, Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach, are the basis of our Yiddishkeit. They can't be hijacked by foreign forces. We have to still appreciate the emes, the purity of all this. So it's difficult. It's difficult, and the challenge is, and there's some prickly pears all over, and there's governmental offices. It's tough. But I want to tell you a beautiful, beautiful vort from the Sephorna. Sephorna says, in the continuation of the Pasuk says, Re'ein asati lifneichem es oretz. Look at the land. Boyu urishuris oretz, come and inherit the land. Asher nishba Hashem la viseichem lavrom li yitzlok li yakov losis lehem lazam achreim. Come and inherit this land. V'amar aleichem ba'isi, the next Pasuk says, and I said to myself at that time, lo uchal levadi se'es eschem. I cannot possibly carry you. Hashem alekeichem hirbe eschem hinchem ayim kachich shemay l'rov. Hashem has made you so great. Hashem alekeichem yosef alekeichem kachem elep omim. Eicho esa levadi torchachem mesachem richem. How can I possibly carry you with all your troubles and all your tirchus, right? Now, Rashi Lamashoy tarchonim. What's going on? What's the connection between being memane, creating a judicial system, creating a justice system of sorei meoi, sorei lofim, sorei asoris, all this to do with coming into Eretz Yisrael? Look, I'll give you into land, and then I said, land, and then I said, be'esahi, I've got to make shoftim. What's the connection between Eretz Yisrael and connecting with that? For amalechem be'esahi leimor leuchal vadis eischem, I can't carry. What's the difference? So the Sephorna says something very beautiful. He says, and I want to say the marshal of an oni. You know, imagine a guy is living in an apartment block, and his neighbor doesn't really appreciate Dine ben Odlocha very, very much. Okay, so one day he's going up, his neighbor's moving in a new cupboard into his house, and as he goes up the stairs, narrow stairs, he gives his front door. This Mr. Stein's front door, a big bash, right? So there's a big dent in his front door. And off he carries on, bringing it to his house. He opens his front door, he sees his big bash. He goes up and says, I'm very sorry, you've ruined my front door. No, I don't have very much in this world, you know, but what I do have, I care for, and I'd like you to pay me for this. He said, do me a favor, it was there before. He said, it wasn't there before, I'm telling you it wasn't. It's okay, it's a little bash. I'm very sorry, I'd like to be compensated for this. He said, oh, come on, neighbors, you know, these things happen. No, I want to be compensated. Anyway, he refuses to pay, and he refuses to back down. He sends him a letter to come to Din Torah. Fine, he calls him to Din Torah. The date is set for Dalad Ador. Fine, Dalad Ador is a big Din Torah. Gimel Ador, he's looking through his mail, and all of a sudden, he realizes that he looks at the date. He said, oh, today's date, oh, maybe, let me check my national lottery ticket. Gimel, yeah, Gimel's a good day. Ador, let me check. Goes to the national lottery ticket and he realizes that he's won £25 million. Multi-millionaire. He's won a rollover, £25 million. This guy's a multi-millionaire now. Multi-millionaire. What's the first thing he do? Goes along, takes pictures, brings in a family, makes a big party, but he goes along base and says, you know what, I've got dinner tomorrow, forget about it, don't worry about it. Why? Because the last thing he wants is people to say, look at this gavir, look at this wealthy guy, look how petty chap he is, look at this. He's a multimillionaire, he cares about a dent on his front door. But the dintor is there already, so therefore he's quickly in the battle of dintor, he quickly cancels that out before he comes along and gets a bad name. Okay? bad enough that you're rich, you've got to have a bad name as well. So that's what he does, and he cancels it out. He says, Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Klal Yisrael, look at you. What a mess. You're about to come into Eretz Yisrael. You know what Eretz Yisrael is? Re'ein nasat lifnechmas, have a look. Boyer shurus ha'oretz. Come and inherit the land. Hashem nishpah shem navi seichel. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Los Yisrael Zamachrem. Look, I'm giving you the land. And what do? They carry on fighting. They carry on squabbling. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what? Le'uchel avadi seis eschem. I can no longer bear you. If you're still being petty, after you are ready to receive such an unbelievable gift, then there's something wrong with you. You know why? Because now it's no longer fighting for your rights to exist. Because you have a beautiful land. When you have Klal Yisrael, who need one dayan for every 10 people, it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job, you need one for every 10 people to keep the machlokes at bay. Can you imagine what machlokes is going on? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you so petty? Because you don't have anything. You're about to come to Eretz Yisrael. What's your problem? Elamai, what is it? It's peshitta. Matter of principle. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, with a matter of principle, I can't possibly look after you anymore. I can't. It's not possible to exist like that. Says a Sephora, when a person realizes what gift he has in life, to get out of bed in the morning, to have it, to be functional, to be normal, to have a family, to have life, how can a person possibly be upset? How can a person possibly have tainas against people? And don't worry, you know, if you're coming back from Mifal HaPayis, from the lottery office here in Israel, and you're carrying in your briefcase a check for 25 million shekel, yeah, if a cab driver was rude to you, he wouldn't even notice. He wouldn't notice, big deal, who would I care? This is what Eretz Yisrael is about. If we knew what a schus it was to live in Eretz Yisrael, if we knew what a fantastic merit it is where we do mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, every mitzvah is worth much more, do we care about some prickly person, Misrad HaPnim? Do we care for the fact that they aren't quite as polite when they answer the phone? But boy, Shuris or Oris, look at this beautiful land. And therefore, we have to make sure they don't fall into the same trap of Le'uchal Avadi Se'es Eschem, to still being petty with the difficulties of Eretz Yisrael. Weetabix is more expensive here. Yeah? People. The tuna is more expensive, much cheaper than tuna in America. You can get your tuna, right? My brother was in yeshiva. They had to import toilet paper. The toilet paper wasn't. They didn't have decent toilet paper here. When my father was in yeshiva, yeah, they used to use itonim, newspapers. Toilet paper was so expensive, and Reb Elia, my father's Reb Elia's yeshiva, said that it's not covered for Ivrit, for Loshon Kodesh handwriting to be used to be cut up into toilet paper. The Bochrim should take the hard-earned, the little pocket money they had to buy regular toilet paper. But where we've come today, living in a wonderful land, fantastic, things have improved. To look for the pettiness is posh it wrong. It's posh it. Be excited with what you have. Be happy with what we have. And there we don't fall into Lo'uchal Avadi Se'es Eschem. In fact, if one's not petty with human beings, it's the same thing with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu. It says in Yirmiyahu. Eichel, which Yirmiyahu, a Novi, wrote, when he saw Klal Yisrael become crushed, falling apart, nation being dispersed into Golus, he says, Ma'is einen odom chai geval chatoi. What is a person complaining about? Nach besod rochenum nach koyu v'nach v've. Sorry, let's look here. Nach besod rochenum v'nach koyu v'nashuv el Hashem, ad Hashem. Look into your do tshuva and come back to Rabbeinu Shleilam. So Motel Kamenetsky asks. This is in Perik Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Tes and Mem. So Motel Kamenetsky asks, why does it say Ma'is onam odom chai? What does a live person complain about? Obviously, you know, dead men don't tell tales, right? Dead men don't complain either. So obviously, odom chai. Ma'is onam odom. Number one. Number two. What do you mean? What's there to complain about? There's plenty to complain about. Klal Yisrael got put into Golus. The base ministry was destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed. Millions, according to the Gemara. Ma'is onam. What's it to grumble about? Of course, there's plenty to grumble about. So he brings the story of the Chasam Sofer, the famous story of the Chasam Sofer. and it's a principle that one has to remember for life. The Chasam Sofer once met a very, very old man. And he said to the old man, what's his secret to longevity? Why are you zeichet to have such a richas yomim? So the man said, I have a principle, one principle, and that principle has held me through all my life. So what is it? He said, my friends have tzoros and I have tzoros. And when my friends have tzoros, they grumbled and they complained. And Rabbi Yishon says to them, you know what? Obviously you want answers. You're grumbling against me, don't think it's fair, you want an answer. You know what? I'll give you an answer. Come up to Shemayim. I'll show you which Gilgul you're in, which Averis you did. I'll show you everything. And then you'll understand why I did to you what I did to you. But by that stage already it's too late. Lo yirani odom b'chai. A person can't see me and live afterwards. So these people, all the complaints get taken upstairs, Hashem's office. Hashem shows them exactly where they are. It's too late already, they come down. This man says, you know what? Everything Rabbi Yishleidem gives me is a toivo. I've got no complaints against him. Hopefully he has no complaints against me. And if there is any problem, nach v'sodera chayra, v'nach kare v'nashubad Hashem, I'll do tshuva. Ma'is onan odom chai. If a person wants to live, if a person wants to live a long life, don't look to complain. Ben odom lachaveiro, it's better. Let it go. Ben odom lamokim, it's better. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you've nothing to complain about, I'll let you live longer. Coming into Eretz Yisrael, coming to any place, people will always complain. Ah, oh, typical. Ah, oh, only in Israel that would happen. It's not. It happens in Chutz Aris as well. Yeah, and when that happens in Chutz Aris, it's exactly like what happened to me in Israel. It's not. Baruch Hashem, it's a small thing. Don't have complaints, Hashem, and let you live longer. You'll feel better. And just love the experience of being in Eretz HaKodesh. The Tzoros here, it's a price. It's a price one pays. But the price is so choshu, the Peleyoitz. When it talks about Eretz Yisrael, the Peleyoitz says, V'ikar halichas Eretz Yisrael hi detikon hanefesh. The ikar going to Eretz Yisrael is for tikon hanefesh. V'ruach toshuvel alakim ashen nasonu kamoish nasonu. And the person who goes there gets his neshama back the same way. V'neshama talil ko. And he talks about umi shniske leilich shom kodeshiye porishiye, etc. And he says before vafilim chayit sa yichyu, even if you live a life of suffering, lechayim toivim yechoshe lefi reiva toiva. He'll reckon it as good because of the tremendous good that he has in Eretz Yisrael. That's by the way, he discourages very strongly people who move to Eretz Yisrael who don't have panasa. Discourage it very, very strongly. He said how much they suffer and how difficult it is. Maybe the times are different, but he discusses it there in a lot of detail. And therefore, that's another idea. The idea is, Ma'is on the Odom Chai. If you're alive and you want to live a long life, don't grumble, don't complain. I just want to finish off with a very, very beautiful piece. I've heard it from various different sources, but it's put it all together, it's very nice. You know, There's a certain law called Murphy's Law. You ever heard of Murphy's Law? What's Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Yeah, it's Murphy's Law. Now, to put it very bluntly, to take it down to the street level, if Klal Yisrael had Murphy's Law or had a day that celebrated Murphy, it would be Tisha B'Av. Anything through generations that could go wrong went wrong on Tisha B'Av. It started off the Meraglim, and then it was the first base of Mikdash, and the second base of Mikdash, and the Spanish Inquisition, expulsion from Spain, and the First World War. Terrible things, one after the other. Now, that's a big black hole in the Jewish history is Tisha B'Av. Surprisingly, it's called a Moed, and it's brought down in the Medrash already that the Mashiach is going to be born on Tisha B'Av. In fact, Tisha B'Av, when Mashiach will come, will be a Yom Tov. The question is, why will it become a Yom Tov? Why will it become a Yom Tov? Ultimately, what's past has passed. Whatever's happened has happened. You know, let's say the Japanese went and killed a bunch of Americans at Pearl Harbor, right? America's won the war. That day that they won the war, does that become a day of celebration? That day that Pearl Harbor was destroyed, is that a day of celebration? December the 7th, is that correct? Is it still a Pearl Harbor day?
1941.
Why? They won the war, what's the big deal? They won the war, why is it a Pearl Harbor day? Why is it a day of mourning? We won the war, let's make a celebration. You know, November 11th, day of infamy, what is this all about? Why do we make it? Why is it that a regular country mourns the past of the loss, even though they've actually passed that stage? And Klal Yisrael, with all the tzoros that's happened and is happening, when Mashiach eventually comes, that's going to be a day of celebration. What's the difference? Why is that going to happen? What's pshat? The teretz is that Klal Yisrael are unique. Klal Yisrael eventually will have the Hakara, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give Klal Yisrael the Hakara, that everything he has done all the way through history was in order to help us along. The Gemara says this in Erevin. The Gemara says that Kodesh Baruch Hu does din on the Rishoyim, eventually in Gehenim. Kodesh Baruch Hu shows exactly why they did it, and they say that Kodesh Baruch Hu is correct and his judgment is correct. And in fact, the Gemara says, it's brought down in Oisus Rebbe Kiva, he brought down that when eventually they don't agree with the judgment, but they'll come when they see Gehenim, they'll accept upon themselves the judgment, and they'll say, Rabbeinu Shloilem, it's you, and they'll come back to Rabbeinu Shloilem with tshuva, and then they'll be seated next to the Shechina, and they'll get reward for the averus that they did, because the averus is going to help them for doing the tshuva. It's a whole kashir within itself. But what the understanding is that when Mashiach will come, we'll understand that the tzoros we've had was only to help us along the way. Who knows? Who knows why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us that tzar? And we have tzaros today. Rabbi said, I'll just tell you a very, very quick piece I heard from Reb Zelig, Hosein Gazon, Reb Zelig Weinberg. On the day that there was this massacre in Yeshivat Moshe Rav Kook, Merkaz Rav Kook, a massacre, where boys were sitting down, good Elicha boys, were sitting down in the library in Eitz Sforim, and somebody who worked in yeshiva came and murdered how many?
Eight
boys murdered, and there was blood all over the Gemaras and all over the Sforim in a Mokum Kodesh. And it was around about this time. But you know, and the you know, if a pigua happened, Rachmana Litzlan, in a street in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't matter where, whether it's Tel Aviv or Netanya Yerushalayim, it's a tremendous chil Hashem, how goyim have a chutzpah to go out and kill Klal Yisrael. But the pain of the chil Hashem was that little bit more when it was a fact that it was inside the Beis Medrash. And Reb Zelig came to Yeshiva, very, very upset, and he said, what is this? What's Peshat? And the Gemara says, by a Soru Gemalchus, one of the Tanoim was killed, and a coil went up to Shemayim. And the Malachim says, Rabbeinu Shleilam, zu Torah vezu schoroi. Is that Torah, not its schar? How can you allow a one of the Asura Gemalchus, how can you allow one of the Tanoim, the great, I forgot which one it was, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol? How can you allow Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, a Per Mephik Magolius, a Godol Ador, how can you allow him to be killed by these terrible Rishoyim? So Baskol came up from Shemayim and says, zu Torah vezu schoroi. That is Torah, and that's his. Then they said, Zutorah was a schar. The Malachim said, Rabbi, this is Torah, and that's his schar. So Basko came out of Shemayim and said, be quiet. And if you don't, I'll turn this world back to Torah before you. What is this? What kind of answer is this? They're asking a good question. And Rabbi says, be quiet, if not, I'm going to turn the whole. What is he throwing a tantrum, Machmad al Islam? What's Peshat? What's Peshat? Rabbi Yishan's answer. What kind of answer is this? Say, I don't want to answer, I'm not going to answer. But if you don't, I'm going to turn the world back to Tov Avoyu. What's the idea? Says Reb Zelig, I think he brought from the name Briskarov, that there are times in Klal Yisrael where the matzav, where the situation is so bad, the Rebbe Yisrael has two choices. One choice is to bring tzoros on certain elite parts of Klal Yisrael. The other choice is to destroy the world. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shleilim had to kill Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. That was one choice. And he was a kapora for the doyer. And if the other choice was, you don't like it, what do you want me to do? Put the world back to Tohu Vavohu? That's what you prefer me to do? To destroy the whole world? When a Mekubal, when a Talmud Chochem, when a Porush, Rabbi Eliezer Abu Chatzera, last week, Erev Shabbos, sitting there learning, and a Talmud comes and stabs him and kills him. Rabbi Isai, we don't know the Hestoponim. Tisha B'Av is about Hestoponim. Tisha B'Av is not understanding how the world has spiraled out of control, how a Jewish man who considers himself frum can go along and murder a little innocent 9-year-old boy. We don't understand this. We don't understand. But what we do know is that on the same day of Tisha B'Av is a day that Mashiach is born. It's a day that will eventually become a Yom Tov. We'll begin to understand everything. If we try and look for answers now, and Rabbi Yishma, I don't understand. Rabbi Yishma said, you know what? I'll show you. I'll explain to you. I'll take you upstairs in my office. You can't come down again, though. It's not always easy living here. It's not always living anywhere. But we have to appreciate what we have in our life. We have to appreciate what Rabbi Yishma has given us. Because the more we appreciate, and the more we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Alter Belzer Rebbe once said, you say to Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yishma, oh, it's just schlecht. Oh, is this bad? Hashem said, you think that's bad? I'll show you what bad is. But if you say, oh, your Rabbi Yishma is so kind to me, it's so good. Rabbi Yishma thinks, this is good? I'll show you what good is. Right? That's what we have to do. Lemaisa, Baruch Hashem, we have tremendous bracha from Rabbi Yishleilam. On the other hand, we're nowhere near there. We have a long way to go. We're in Golus. We are threatened. Syria is falling apart. Lebanon is falling apart. Mitzrayim is falling apart within a few months. All the peace pacts are made with all different nations. And, you know, everything is stability is falling apart. And we're very, very vulnerable. We're very vulnerable. With Iran, with the atomic war, we're very vulnerable. But we're living in Eretz Yisrael. And this is where we are now. And this we've got to be grateful for and appreciate. And appreciate it does not mean... You know, I once went fundraising and I was explaining to a group of... I had a parlor meeting. And I was explaining to a group of people there what it means to study in Israel. You know, and the amount of people studying and the kind of levels of academic... wisdom that most of the, you know, many of the rabbis receive there. And one fellow just looks up and he says, is there any decent skiing in Israel? I mean, that was it. Israel was, if there's any decent skiing in Israel, killed the whole presentation. Any decent skiing in Israel? And the Maisa, he's off. He's far off. But how far off are we? You know, are we looking at Israel as a land of tech and money, or the land of milk and honey? What is it? Yeah? That is what we should be focusing on. And ignoring us. A few years ago, I was walking down Geula, and there was a man, Kanoi, in a negative form. He was shouting out, "Oh, Yerushalayim, hey, say Tomei!" Getting down the street, getting all the people, tourists, get out of Geula. You know, where's your preachers? Say Tomei! Throwing out leaflets. Hey, say Tome, good Shabbos. So this girl is on the phone to her mother, and he says, "Ma, isn't this a beautiful country? I'm walking down the street here, in the middle of a main street, this guy saying good Shabbos to everybody. It's such a beautiful thing, you know." Okay, you can see, and I learned from there, you guys cursing everyone out, good Shabbos. You know, even in the times of darkness, look for the good. A person saying good Shabbos, you know. Be happy with what we have, and Ezra Hashem will give us much, much more, and be zoicha to the Geula, and we'll see clarity, we'll see greatness, and Ezra Hashem, it should be in the sweetness, it shouldn't chas v'sholem be any more tzoros, lo yim tzoros seinu die, bring Mashiach to the Kenu b'meher v'yameinu.
Amen.